Would you have yourself a seat right here, please? Make yourself comfortable. We're going to have a little fun with Bill. Just a little bit of fun. I wouldn't want him to go back to Illinois without having something to talk about. And at this time, our past Moose International Rookie of the Year, Rod Soat, has a few things that he'd like to talk to Mr. Airy about.
Thank you, Dave. Director General Airy, it is our pleasure to welcome you to Michigan. As many of my fellow brothers in the audience here know, Mr. Airy, for many years, has received the report of the Grievance Committee at International Convention from our past Supreme Governor, Gene Smith. Due to some poor health, Gene had resigned his position, and this was the first year that Bill has had to go through International Convention and not receive the spirited report. So, not wanting Bill to feel left out, that it was only fitting to Michigan Moose Association give Bill his grievance committee report. I happen to be low man on the totem pole. You got to be careful with those words around here. And wound up sacrificial lamb to deliver this to you. I want to apologize up front to anyone if I offend you, but I just want everyone to also know that I'm an equal opportunity offender. So, we got together and had our little state grievance committee this afternoon, and started out with State President Bruce Tallman. Cousin Bruce, he came up and opened the meeting. Okay, has anybody got any complaints to report? Hearing none, I knew I put that lady in charge of the complaint committee would make my year that much easier. Dave Coffey replied, Bruce, who did you put in place and why wasn't I notified of that? Bruce said, well, Helen. Wait. You got a complaint? Go to hell and wait. About that time, Jim Colby stood up and stated,
well, gentlemen, this could be a very serious topic, and we definitely need to keep an open door policy on any complaints we receive. I also want to say that we should expand this outreach to all of our district presidents. They should have a weekly report on all the potentials within the district. This could be a serious problem.
About that time, Gary Kluzak interrupted. I have to put my paper down for this.
Well, Jim, I think we're overreacting. I think most of the people in the Michigan Moose Association get along great. And I don't understand why we're making such a deal out of this. We got great people.
The rest of the meeting kind of digressed into telling dirty jokes. Lanny and Dave said this meeting's adjourned to the bar. Does anybody know Dave likes beer? Okay. So while the jokes were flying, Bill, your name came up a few times, and I thought it was only appropriate that I bring them to your attention. As we heard earlier, Bill was born in upstate New York and later settled in Columbus, Ohio. Now, Bill was a smart enough man not to go to school at OSU, but he fell into the wicked trap of becoming a true Buckeye fan. This dated back to the early 60s, folks, so we know who was coaching there. This has kind of plagued him ever since. So, Bill, I have a few questions that you should be able to answer as a good Buckeye fan. Why don't Buckeyes eat M&Ms? They're too hard to peel. What do Buckeyes think Cheerios are? Donut seeds. one of my favorites. How many Buckeye fans does it take to change a flat tire? Only one, unless it's a blowout, and then they all show up. You know, I think it's a shame the way the Buckeye fans get picked on. After all, it was an Ohio State engineer that invented the toilet seat. Then, of course, a Michigan State engineer stole the idea of the design and cut a hole in it. The story of how Dave got Bill to come here to convention for us this year is kind of interesting as well. Bill has always wanted to go moose hunting. And figuring that he should know the way of the majestic bull moose, so Dave Coffey contacted Charlie Blue and asked him to take Dave out and Bill and go moose hunting up in the UP. Ooga ooga. So last winter, Charlie and Bill were out moose hunting. Dave decided the warm fire and cold beer was more enticing than moose hunting. Anybody know Dave likes beer? So Charlie and Bill were walking along. Charlie says, "Did you see that?" "No," says Bill. "A bald eagle just flew up overhead." Walking along a little further, all of a sudden Charlie says, "You see that?" "See what?" Bill exclaimed. "Over there on the hill is a big black bear." Pretty soon, a little bit further, here he come again. Charlie said, "Did you see that?" By this time, Bill was getting a little bit aggravated and said, "Yes, I did." Charlie said, "Then why the hell did you step in it?" Needless to say, no moose on that trip. So it's taken us 2 years to get him here. The next year, Bill came back up to the UP with Charlie again to go moose hunting. This time, Charlie had a foolproof method and a way to lure the bull moose in. They got an authentic cow moose costume with all the female scents and learned the mating call of the cow moose. The plan was to hide in the moose costume and lure the bull in and then jump out of the costume and shoot the bull. So Charlie hops in the front of the costume. Bill gets in the back. Not before long, they put themselves on the edge of a clearing, start bellowing out the call, and Charlie's just giving it all he's got. Figuring, you know, I got to get the Director General a moose here. All of a sudden, here come a bull moose crashing out of the forest and into the clearing. Kept coming closer, sniffing a little bit. Charlie says, "Okay, let's get him." In a moment that seemed like eternity, Bill exclaimed, "The zipper's stuck. What do we do now?" Charlie said, "I don't know about you, but I'm going to nibble on some grass." That's how Bill learned to say, "Ooga, ooga." Now, going back to the early days in Columbus, Bill met a beautiful lady named Jean, and they planned to marry. The young couple met with their pastor, set a date, put their plans together. And the pastor asked, "Do you prefer a contemporary or a traditional service?" And they agreed upon contemporary. On that day, a big major storm kind of forced Bill to take an alternative route to the church. Streets were flooded in downtown Columbus. It was terrible. And so Bill had to pull up his pant trousers because he was afraid they were going to get wet. And he trudged off to the church. When he finally reached the church, the best man rushed him up to the sanctuary. Got him right to the altar just in time for the ceremony to start. About that time, the pastor leaned forward and said, "Bill, pull down your pants." Bill looked up and said, "Reverend, I think I've changed my mind. I'll have the traditional ceremony." Now, a few years later, Bill was asked what would be the most happy marriage he could imagine, to which he replied, a deaf man married to a blind woman. Bill and Jean were blessed with three children. Now, one Sunday afternoon, Bill and Jean decided the only way they were going to pull off a Sunday quickie was with their 10-year-old son, Donnie, in this apartment, was to send him out on the balcony and order him to report on all the neighborhood activities. So Donnie went out on the balcony, began his commentary as the parents put their plan into operation. A few minutes passed. Donnie's, looks like the Andersons have company. An ambulance just went by. There's a car being towed from the parking lot. Oh, Matt's riding a new bike. And the Coopers are in the bedroom having sex. Bill shot up and said, how do you know that? It's just his son's standing out on the porch, too. Have to remember that one, Bill. Thanks. After Bill moved to Illinois, he and Jean had a house with some land, and as we learned today, a fabulous feline. So they decided to put in a garden. Remember what Buckeyes think Cheerios are for, right? So one Sunday afternoon, Bill and Jean are out working in the garden. Bill looks over at his wife and said, honey, your butt is getting really big. So Bill proceeded not to be undersold to get his tape measure. He says, I bet your butt is bigger than the barbecue. So he tears off to the garage, gets the tape measure, comes back, measures the grill, and then turns around, and his wife is out there weeding away. And he goes and he measures her bottom. I knew it. See, it's 2 inches wider than the barbecue. I told you, honey. I knew I was right for once. Well, later that night, Bill was feeling a little frisky. He made some advances toward his wife, who was completely brushing him off. Bill says, what's wrong? His wife answers, do you really think I'm going to fire up this big-ass grill for one little weenie? Not long ago, Bill and his wife went to the doctor. Bill had been feeling down and tired all the time. The doctor gave him a shot of vitamins, prescribed some pep pills, and sent him to the drugstore for those pep pills, and also gave him an empty jar. Said, I'd like to check your sperm count, make sure everything's working okay. And I'd like you to bring it back in next week, and we can check it out. Well, Bill and his wife came back to the doctor the following week. The doctor said, well, what's the problem? The jar's empty. I told you I needed to have a sample so I'd know what to do. Bill says, well, I tried with my left hand. I tried with my right hand. My wife tried with her left hand. My wife tried with her right hand. My wife even tried with her teeth. We couldn't get the jar open. Well, Bill gave up on doctors at that point. And so Jean had to take the bull by the horn. She went to the doctor, pulled him aside, and said, doctor, you know, our last visit wasn't too good here. And, I haven't had sex in a few years, and I'd really like to spice up our sex life a little bit. Doctor smiled and said, hey, have you tried to give him Viagra? She says, doctor, I can't even get him to take an aspirin when he's got a headache. How am I going to get that in him? Well, I'll give you some of this. You can just grind it up and you put it in his coffee in the morning. So Jean headed off, went to the pharmacy, got what she needed, went about it, ground it up and built coffee one day. So, went back to the doctor. Mrs. Airy is just frowning at the doctor as he walks in. She says, why? Well, what's wrong? Didn't it work? She said, oh yeah, it worked. Well, then what's the problem? It was great. He ripped his clothes off. We had the best sex we've had in 25 years. It was wonderful. I said, well, ma'am, what's the problem? I can never show my face in McDonald's again. Bill, in all seriousness, I highly appreciate what you do every day for Moose International. You've been a wonderful inspiration and leader for our fraternity. And I know it doesn't happen without struggles and a lot of give and take. In fact, Bill's body organs had a meeting the other day. Try to decide who should be in charge of the body. Well, the brain said, I control everything, so I should be in charge. Heart says, oh no. No, I should be in charge. I pump the blood to everything and provide oxygen. Without me, it'd wither away. No, the stomach says, I'm in charge. I process the food. I give you all the energy. It's all you need. And then all of a sudden, the rectum said, nope, I ought to be in charge. I handle all the waste. Everybody laughed. They just couldn't get over it that the rectum was thinking this. So, the rectum shut down tight. Within a few days, the brain had a terrible headache. The stomach was bloated. The blood was toxic. Eventually, the other organs gave in. They all agreed that the rectum ought to be boss. So here's the moral of that story. You don't have to be smart or important to be in charge. Just a great paternalist and a wonderful human being. Thank you, Bill. God bless Moose Heart. God bless Moose Haven.
And now for Bill Airy's comments on that report.
Yeah, I have nothing to say. I have nothing to say.
Speaking as your former regional manager, I know he's going to be on his phone as soon as he gets back up here. Bill, if you would return up here, please, we'll start with it. Okay, you stay right there. Okay, we're going to start installing our officers.
Installing Sergeant in Arms Gene Lulley, would you come forward, please? Thank you. Brother Secretary, you will call the roll of officers elect and appointed And as the name of each officer is announced, Sergeant-at-Arms will present him at this station. President Gary Kluczak. Vice President Larry Dieter. Prelate Jim O'Connor. Treasurer Jim Colby. District 2 President John Harbison. District 3 Mike DeSantis. District 4, Ray Fogelsong. District 6, Craig Frazier. District 7, Dick Boyd. District 9, Dan Castleman. District 10, Jim Beardsley. District 11, Larry Tissue. District 12, Del Johnson. District 13, Bob Osborne. District 14, Robert Roker. District 16, Bob Boyce. District 17, Steve Eisler. District 18, Dave C. Restroom stop, huh? Brother Secretary, are these officers elect in good standing in their respective lodges and the lodge in good standing with this association?
They are.
Brother President, have the members whom this association desires to install into office for the ensuing term been elected or appointed in strict compliance with the bylaws of this association?
Yes, they have.
Brothers, if any of you have just cause to show why any or all of the officers elected or appointed should not be not at this time be installed, you will make it known now. If there appearing to be no objection, I will proceed with the installation. Officer elect, place your left hand over your heart, raise your right hand, and repeat after me using your name where I use mine. I, Gail Kenny, do solemnly promise that I will faithfully and to the best of my ability perform the duties of the office to which I have been elected or appointed. I will obey all orders emanating from the Supreme Lodge and will discharge my official duties in accordance with the bylaws of this association and the general laws of the Loyal Order of Moose. At the expiration of my term, I will deliver to my successor in office or to any legal authority of the order All funds, books, papers, and property in my possession belonging to this association or any other branch of the order, I will devote my energies to the fullest extent to the building of the association, the lodges, the moose legions, the women of the moose, and all other authorized endeavors for the promotion and growth of the Loyal Order of Moose, to all of which I pledge my sacred honor. May God keep me steadfast in the discharge of my duties. Amen. You may lower your hands. I hereby declare these officers duly installed for the ensuing term. Brother Sergeant-at-Arms, you will conduct the president of this to this station while the other new officers resume their places in the meeting room.
Couple things we want to do here. First of all, let's give a hand to the Director General for having such a good sense of humor through that. And Rod for the great job that he did. And Rod, the Director General, said he'd like to have a copy of that for my human resources record. If you could get that to him, please. I'd appreciate it very much. State Secretary is going to present the our now past president with his pen.
Bruce, it's my honor to present you with your past president's pen. And you can see Jim Colby after the meeting.
Dave,
and now,
yes.
Would you please present the gravel? Gavel to the president at this time, a symbol of your authority. My brothers, please join me in extending a round of applause for our new president.
I want to thank you for this opportunity to stand up here and put in a year as the state association president, but the journey has only started. And it started, I've had the opportunity to serve as the coordinator for the Council of Higher Degrees. And to me, the Council of Higher Degrees is the foundation of this fraternity, because it represents the men and the women working together. And so, all of you, the men and the women, thank you for this opportunity. And I want to express my, you don't get into a position like this without some great mentors. And one of them, I'll mention just a few, and it's not to slight anybody, but Sylvia Putnam. The lady is awesome. And then I would go into Council 3, and I would watch Melody Daniels, and I would just sit in awe when she was the presiding officer for the council. And that woman knows how to run a meeting. And then I would go down to Council 2 or to Council 1, and I would watch Betty Welch. And Betty was, besides being the co-worker of the year, she was an exceptional council president. She was awesome. She had all her committees working together, and it was a delight just to go into that council. And so I would always strive to say, wow, I would like my council to be like these councils. And sometimes we came close in Council 6. But we have some exceptional mentors. One was Carolyn Michalak. I told Carolyn, I says, Carolyn, we were doing the Moose-a-thons, and went to Taylor with Mac McNaughton. And Carolyn says, Gary, I'm very hesitant and actually afraid of calling people to ask them for their dues and to find out why they're not paid. And I says, Carolyn, and I says, sometimes in a leadership position, you have to be able to walk over that edge and do something that you're not used to. But in a leadership role, you have to do that. And she did it. So, Carolyn, thank you. And to show my respect to Carolyn, I says, you know what? If I can expect Carolyn to do that, then I can drive over that stupid Mackinac Bridge. So, Carolyn, and then you go into Ron Farmer. We were doing the Moose-a-thons, and we went into Westland. And with Mac, and Ron says, Gary, I had sent out emails earlier about 2 weeks ago. We're here to do a Moose-a-thon. He says, Gary, I got it all done. Here's my complete report. And it was so fantastic. I forwarded it as I used it as part of my presentation at International, and gave a copy of that to Jim Fleming. It was exceptional. And so there's a lot of mentors out here. And my goal is to try to live up to your expectations and your abilities. And so I want to thank all of you for the wonderful job you've done. And then I want to introduce my wife, Dale. She is from Pasadena. And as you know, the story about the song from the little old lady from Pasadena, she likes to accommodate and meet new friends on the way up here to the convention. And so, and then she's learned a little bit. She gave a sob and tear story to the officer, and so they got off scot-free. And then her friend, Rayanne, who's her partner in crime, I don't know which one was driving, but they both had a story. So, Rayanne, thank you for coming up with her and for everything that all of you do. Thank you very, very much.
Finally, thank you, Gary, by the way. Finally, there's three men that I want to have come up here. When we put these conventions on, they don't sound and photos and videos don't magically appear. And these gentlemen do a lot behind the scenes that a lot of people don't really realize that goes on. All three of them worked on their lunch today. I had lunch sent over to them, because they were putting things together for the banquet and various other things and fixing some issues with the sound and PowerPoints and so forth. And I want to give our production coordinator and his two co-workers my appreciation, and I'd like for you to give your appreciation to them also. They don't only work here. I mean, you know, weeks before this thing starts, I'm on the phone with Charlie and Jim and Sean. We're working on things. So there's a lot of effort that goes into it, and I appreciate what they do. And anybody that knows me well knows that I don't like to run past 10 o'clock. It's 10:01. Have a great night. Go win some money and have some fun.